It is Thursday, October 22nd. We are 48 hours away from an Ohio State football game, Big Ten football games, the addition of another conference, and also a number of other great college football games. And the way that 2020 is shaking out, there's no game that you could be like, that's not a good game. What do you mean? Florida State beat North Carolina. It wasn't supposed to be a good game, but it damn sure was. So expect the unexpected in 2020. 48 hours away, man. Who's excited? I got something for you today, too. I spent 15 years coaching college football. I loved it. Certain aspects of it I loved more than others. And so today, what I'm going to do, it's been 2 years since I spoke to a position group, which was my favorite thing. I loved the position group. I loved my guys. I loved a lot of other aspects and hated a lot of other aspects, but I just loved my unit, right? My collection of players. And so I'm going to give you a little something, what my message to my players would have been on what is a perfect Thursday, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But we are 2 days away from a Buckeye football game, so I guess this we'll switch into promo mode. Come hang out with Braxton Miller and I. We are having a watch party at the Point on Lane right next to Varsity Club. It's going to be big time. We have Buckeye vodka. Screwball peanut butter whiskey is making two different signature drinks. One is a pudding shot with peanut butter whiskey. The other is like a chocolate, or I'm sorry, it might be a peanut butter and jelly with Truly, and then maybe a chocolate beer with peanut butter whiskey, whatever. We're going to have a couple Buckeye drinks, a Buckeye vodka, and then we have Truly, Sam Adams beer, some domestic options, a ton of drinks, Shade on the Canal wings, which are freaking ridiculous. If you came last year, you had them. And then Revelry Tavern is going to be giving us a bunch of food. And then also, who am I forgetting? Oh, Katzinger's Deli is giving us awesome dessert options. So tons of food, tons of drinks, some hot bartenders, you name it. And I'll be out there. Braxton will be out there. We're doing a live show. And so we're going to welcome here in a minute Stephanie Odie. If you don't know her, she's all over podcasts and really social media right now, her YouTube channel. And she was on ABC6, The Fever, I believe it's called, for the last year or two. And anyway, she's going to come out and do the live pregame show. So this game is going to be preview the Buckeyes. That's the point of this show. And but on Saturday, the live preview show, you're going to be able to check it out on Instagram Live at Menace to Sports. And we're going to have the full-on detailed preview for you Saturday morning at about 10:45. So make sure you check out that. Look for that. But anyways, Ace on Lane, come hang out with us. We're going to give you a discount code right now for our listeners because you know how it is. Braxton tweets it out, and you got a bunch of Buckeye fans that maybe don't know about the show. So I want to take care of my listeners. I already took care of Patreon and gave away a bunch of free tickets that Screwball bought for our subscribers. Now I'll give you 30% off code with the promo code Menace. You go to our website, menacesports.com, go to the Ace on Lane, pick your tickets, promo code Menace, and we'll give you 30% off. Come hang out with us, and then we'll have a great time. Watch the game, little analysis, little fun, little food, little drinks. It'll be a great time. And real quick, we're going to go to one of our sponsors. And if you haven't checked out our picks at Menace to Picks, you got to check them out. I'm just telling you, we got a subscription service, and our handicap team is on fire. And we are placing bets on MyBookie, MyBookie.com. Here it is, a little message from one of our sponsors. Between the NFL, college ball, and the Major League Baseball playoffs, there's no shortage of games to watch. And with thousands of lines available on all your favorite sports and events, you can turn your game day into payday with MyBookie. If you're the type of guy who likes to back the big favorites, consider putting a couple in a parlay for a much bigger payout. Not only do parlays make meaningless games exciting, but more importantly, they give you a chance to turn ordinary bets into a real moneymaker. And don't forget the underdogs. They have a ton of value. The thing about the NFL is that underdogs are never really dogs on Sunday. Every team truly has a chance to win, and you do too. Game spreads, championship futures, and player prop bets. It's never too late to get in on the action and start turning your sports knowledge into actual cash in your wallet. Sign up at MyBookie, and when you do, use our promo code Menace to claim a deposit match dollar for dollar all the way up to $1,000. It's a bonus designed to give you a little help and a head start on your winning season. That's promo code Menace for you to claim your bonus when you make your deposit. Stack UFC cards, presidential prop bets, all the major sports and more. Sign up today to begin your winning season exclusively at MyBookie.
Well, there you have it. Get free money, win a lot of money. That's a good plan for life, right? Give me free money, let me win a lot of money. And we're going to use at Menace to Picks, patreon.com/MenaceToPicks, to get our gambling advice, and then we're going to win money and be rich. But enough about that, man. I can't wait to get to this show. So we're going back to it with our new intro, our Buckeye-themed intro, because it is Buckeye kickoff week. We're going to give you our new intro, and then we're coming straight off of it with a little Thursday speech, and then I'll explain what Thursday is. All right, so let's get to the show. I did a disservice. Let's get to the show.
Justin Fields, hello, Columbus, 51 yards. And it's blocked. Ohio State got it. Blocked out of the air. Towards the end zone. Touchdown, Buckeyes. Here's Fields over the middle. Touchdown, Buckeyes.
Hit anyway. Sean Wade off the corner, and Lawrence is still down. Fields again looking to throw, loops the ball up, leaping catch by Garrett Wilson down inside the 10 as the freshman makes a play.
Unbelievable catch by the true freshman from Austin, Texas. And even more, Sermon still on the move. Sermon to the corner. Touchdown.
Well, then get the fuck out of here then. Okay, see ya.
Well, it is perfect Thursday for everyone across the country that plays on Saturday. And perfect Thursday is this. This is the day where you walk in a facility, it feels different. It's no pads. You're only going against a scout team. And it's a much shorter practice. And this is kind of that moment where you get to just sharpen your game plan, fine tune it, like get the details ready. And I talked to a couple coaches last night, and it's crazy. They have just closed today or yesterday 40 practices. They had 40 practices. That's not counting the workouts. They did 40 practices. Usually you do like 20, I think it's 28 or 29. Usually it's like 29, 28. They did 40 practices before they're going to play a game. And they have another one today. 40. That's absurd. But Thursday's that. All that preparation and work, and you get to walk in and just fine tune it, man. Just clean it up. A couple little mistakes you need to fix before the game. This is where you get to visualize the entire game. That was my message always on a Thursday was, this is a visualization day. When you run this play against this scout team player with no pads on, he's told not to make a play on the ball. You are there to get that game rep and visualize yourself making that play in 2 days. So that when that play comes up, you have that visual in your mind. And you already made that play in your dreams and in your preparation. So when the ball is snapped on Saturday, it's easy. You've already made that play. And so I want to give you what my message would be if I was still the receiver coach at Ohio State or just a position coach at Ohio State right now. This would be my message to the team. Today is the day that you sharpen and fine-tune everything you are going to do on Saturday. We ended last year with a bitter taste in our mouth. You can blame the refs, blame the committee for dropping us in the polls, blame JK, blame Chris Olave. You can blame anything you want. But the reality is this. We should have ran Clemson off the field if every man did their job. If every man had intense focus and relentless effort on every play, the Buckeyes would have had a shot at Joe Burrow and LSU. But you didn't. We didn't. We went home. And then, we started grinding. Started working. Started building. Brick by brick. Day by day. With Mick in the weight room. With your coaches in the indoor. In the classroom. You started sharpening the tools in your toolbox. Started strengthening your mind through studies. Strengthening your body through blood, sweat, tears. And then, if you didn't have enough adversity, they took this all away. Made it even harder on you. No more Mickey Marotti. No more position coaches. Just you. The men in the arena were all alone. Isolated. No one watching. They say that's when you find the true character of a man, of a warrior. In the offseason, only yourself to hold accountability. All alone. And what did you do? What the fuck did you do? You pushed harder. You grinded harder. You took that adversity and employed it to fuel you, to push you to be elite. Now here we are, 48 hours away, 10 months of anger, 10 months of pain, 10 months of pent-up rage for revenge. And 48 hours from right now, someone else is going to receive the wrath of a pissed-off, bad motherfucker who's here to show the world. Not this time. Not this team. We will leave no doubt. This time, you will respect us. This time, you will feel us. This time, you will not deny us. Someone is going to feel our pain in 48 hours, and that someone is the Nebraska Cornhuskers. We didn't schedule this game. It's not our fault they invited them to the horseshoe. This bitch doesn't have to be close. You come out of that tunnel, fans, no fans, who gives a fuck? When you play as fast, you play as hard, and you put your fucking foot on the throat, and we don't stop until we say it's over. It's our time. It's time to unleash a fury that's been growing for 10 months. And it's time to make a run at something legendary. Now let's get to work, fellas. That would have been my message. Kind of got myself going there. I apologize. That would have been my message to my guys. The situation is what it is, and it's time to use the situation and everything that's transpired for 10 months to fuel them. Right? You're always looking for motivation. Anything that happens, you know, Tim Kite, who worked with the team, used to always talk about E plus R equals O. You don't control the E, the events. You don't control quarantine, COVID, 2020, cancellation of the season or the bring back or who's on the schedule. You don't control any of that. You control the R, your reaction. And so if they're not using everything that's happened thus far to motivate and fuel them, then that's a crime. That's what everyone should do, right? Everything that happens. That's what I did. I went through a fucking train wreck tragedy that ended my coaching career. So I had two choices. I could bitch about it and just fucking become a nobody, or I could use that to fuel me and motivate me to do something bigger, bounce back higher. And that's what I'm trying to do. I'm certainly haven't yet, but I'm working on it. And it motivates me every day. The adversity that I've been through motivates me every day. So I know this football team is going to do the same. So I want to get to bring Stephanie in, and we're going to talk about the offense, talk a little bit about the defense. And like I said, the more in-depth breakdown is going to be the live show on Saturday. So make sure you check that out on Instagram Live. You can have it on your iPad or phone while you're watching the Big Noon Kickoff. Just check us out, see what we're talking about. But anyways, let's get with Stephanie and talk about the little Buckeyes. So we have Stephanie Odie here, who she's been on everything. I don't even know what to give her, where to associate her. She's been on ABC6, on The Fever, Fox 28, Buckeye Scoop. I've seen her all over the place. So it's nice to have you here.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's just adding it to the list. I haven't been on here yet, so I'm excited to be here.
Well, I'm very selective with my guests, and usually my guests are very selective with going on here. So I'm excited to have you, though, because as someone who has covered the Buckeyes, and we're going to talk about it a little bit later, you've covered way more than just the Buckeyes, right? You're not just a Buckeye diehard reporter, right? You've done more and have done bigger things. But I'm excited to get your perspective. Obviously, being on the media side of things, I'm like in a weird spot. I don't know what I am. I'm certainly not media. I'm obviously not a coach anymore, so I don't know what I am.
An analyst, maybe?
An analyst. Yeah. That's a good way to put it. An analyst. I can live with that title.
Yeah.
But first, I just want to get kind of your opinion on 2020 and the Ohio State journey that has led us to what is almost game week.
I just made a big sigh. Like, it's just been exhausting, especially off of how they finished their last game in Arizona. It ended tragically. There was some things they could control, some things they couldn't control as to why they lost the Fiesta Bowl to Clemson. And so that they really wanted to avenge themselves. And then that was pulled away from them. Mm-hmm. And then it came back. And there was just all these issues. And it was super stressful on the guys. But I think that the culture at Ohio State thrived. And I think that the coaching staff and the athletic director, just collectively with their families, they were protesting. It really showed how dedicated they were and how unified they were. It was a true testament to how collective this team has been.
No doubt. And I've said it, talking to Randy Wade and even some of the coaches, it's such a strong statement that you have guys like Ja'Marr Chase at LSU, Micah Parsons at Penn State, all these big-time players across the country opting out of the season. And then you had guys like Sean Wade fighting to have a season. Like, Sean Wade is going to be a first-round draft pick. He could have opted out. Like, a lot of these players used COVID as an excuse to not play, just get out of here and go make some money. He could have done that and made a lot. And yeah. he's fighting to play. It just goes to show the culture they have at Ohio State right now. Yeah. It really does.
And not a single person on the Ohio State roster has opted out. Yeah. They came back, you know, right. but you look at other programs and whether they have their own concerns health-wise or whatever, but Ohio State clearly has trust in their system, their staff, each other. They're really bought in. And I think that when you have guys that are completely dedicated, it helps show the younger guys. And it's a big all hands on deck. And Coach Day has talked a lot about, okay, the depth chart's going to be key here. You never know when someone's going to go out. So yeah, you have your starters, but you can definitely expect everyone to be going in at rotations and things like that, just because if you're out, you're out pretty much half the season.
Yeah.
So you need to make sure that you have spots that you can fill. Guys are moving around. They're trying out new spots, new schemes. So it's going to be a big trial, I think, to see how guys can adjust. But so far, it's looked good, especially in the running back position. You saw injuries, and so they had extra time. Mm-hmm. And Master Teague was one who said that extra time did benefit him. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's pros and cons. Coach Day is definitely watching other teams play and looking out for certain things to work on, tackling mainly. And so using this delay to apply it to his team might give them an edge in this crazy year of 2020, but it's crazy to say the least.
Oh, crazy is almost an understatement. Yeah. So it's crazy, obviously, analyzing every week the national landscape, and I've become an SEC analyst just by circumstance. I certainly don't want to do that, but with no Big Ten and nothing else going on up here, it's like, well, I guess I'll watch Alabama. But speaking to what you just talked about, tackling and just those fundamentals that when you lose spring ball, you lose summer, and in this wild times, you see a defensive team like Nick Saban's defensive unit year in, year out is the most fundamentally sound. I mean, they're like obsessive about hand placement on a breastplate and thumbs up, thumbs. Everything has to be so perfect. And they go out to Ole Miss and miss 21 tackles. And it's, you just sit there and you're like, this is such a bizarre year. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's a huge, the huge question mark for Ohio State is how they managed this insanity and will they be able to be crisp when they have to take the field. I think they're better than everyone in the Big Ten, certainly. So I think they'll be able to make some mistakes. But it's going to be interesting because this has been a wild year.
Yeah. And yeah, tackling is a huge one. They only have 3 weeks in pads.
Yeah.
And so Coach Day does have them practicing on Saturdays in the shoe without fans, trying out music. He's very dedicated to giving them the feeling of what game day will actually look like in a year like this. That is an advantage that the Big Ten was given in this delay. So again, learning from other programs, defenses have been struggling elsewhere, especially with attacking, like you said. But yeah, that's been the focus, and they've looked at fundamentals and lots of film watching when they were, you know, distancing. But it'll all be tested here, and especially with, you know, you look at the defensive line, you know, at the edge they have depth, but at tackle that's a big concern. And so maybe they'll move guys around if some guys can't come back. Yeah. So there's, and then when you think of the linebackers, they're going to be moving around a lot. We saw some guys play different positions as well. So lots of movements, but depth is huge this year.
Huge. And it's funny because defenses can get away with a lot. I mean, there's multiple different ways you can get guys in positions that if you have if you're down at a position, not only COVID related, but I mean, I've been so many places where interior D linemen are not great, or maybe we don't have four great D linemen, and you find a way in a three down structure to still play four down with a linebacker walked up. Like, there's so many things defenses can do to compensate from a position group that's maybe, I don't know, has some positive tests, or maybe not as good as you need them to be. Yeah. So now you play more nickel because your linebackers are a little down, or, you know, there's so many things. On offense, there's 5-0 linemen no matter how you cut it.
Right.
Like, if you have an issue at O-line, whether locked you stink, and loaded. Locked and loaded. If you stink, or if you all have COVID, you got problems.
Yeah.
You can get away with it on defense. I think offense is where it's going to be. And that's what I want to kind of start focusing on and talking about here. It's just kind of how Ohio State looks on the offensive side of the ball. And normally I would start with Justin Fields because it does start and end with Justin Fields. Mm-hmm. But I want to end with him.
Okay.
I want to start up front because I think there's two O-lines in the country, Notre Dame and Ohio State, who I think have the best O-line in America. Run game, pass game. I'm really excited to see this group come together. I'm excited to watch Wyatt Davis now that he's coming back.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to watch some of these new guys. Like, who's going to play right tackle? I know there's a lot of people that have opinions on who it's going to be. But that can change with performance, right? Mm-hmm. You have no one that's taken a snap at tackle other than a starting snap at tackle other than Thayer Mumford. And so I'm excited to see who plays right tackle and how they play, whether it's Nick Petit or so on. I'm curious what you've taken away from all the media coverage that you've done this training camp, if you want to call it that. I don't know what you call it. Preseason.
We have been limited. We were granted one practice for like 15 minutes where they were stretching and stuff.
Right, where they didn't do anything.
We didn't see a whole lot. You didn't want to talk about the quarterbacks, but that was the one thing that stood out to me in seeing who was throwing the passes and things and stuff like there. But I think one key feature on the offensive line is Harry Miller.
Yeah.
We've talked about him a lot. We get to see a lot more of him now. He was great at center. Now he's moving over. So that'll be a good move, but you have so much experience there. Mm-hmm. And I think that having guys moving in won't be too bad when you just think of the unit as a whole.
Yeah.
They're just so solid.
Yeah.
You have top guys, NFL potential there. So I think like if you're weak on one in one spot, you'll move it around and you'll make adjustments.
They have guys. Yeah. They have talent. And I love Stud. Buckeye fans are critical of Coach Stud, but I think he's phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And I've said that before. I mean, they look at things that a lot of times people don't understand, like sacks, when they don't look at how long the quarterback held the ball or was he on the launch point. There's so many things that go into a sack that they want to get on, the O-line about.
The eye test.
So many things. But I'm excited about the O-line. I wanted to start there. I want to move to running backs now because I've been extremely critical, not critical, of Master Teague.
Yeah.
I think he's a solid Big Ten back. He's never shown me anything that says he's anything higher than that, which is why I think Trey Sermon coming in was so huge. Mm-hmm. Because you got a guy that showed in the Big 12, albeit, but showed that he can be that explosive, game-changing back. And talking to Tony Alford, he's like, wait till you see. I talked to him, must have been 3 weeks ago. He was like, Zach, wait till you see this kid. This son of a bitch is a monster.
Yeah, we talked to the running backs last week, and that was a huge addition. And Tony Alford recruited him strongly in his high school days. And Trey even said that he already had built-in chemistry there. They left on a good note. They kept in touch, and this was a perfect fit for both sides. Mm-hmm. And they just picked up right where they left off. He also has chemistry with Justin Fields. They had trained together before.
Yep.
So it works well. Master Teague said it helps him, the competition in the running back room. Master Teague, I know he gets a lot of criticism. He works so hard.
Oh, there's not a better kid in the world, not a harder worker, and he's going to be a solid back.
Yeah.
One, he's going to be a key piece because he's a big, thick back. He can pass pro. He can get you 2 yards on fourth and one.
And you got a line that can open it up.
Oh, no doubt.
Him.
Now, yeah. He's going to be a critical piece, in my opinion. Yeah. A critical piece. He's going to be a really solid football player. I don't think he's a game changer, but he's going to be he's everything you want in a guy.
He had big opportunities, and you're just hoping to see something big from him. I mean, we just saw the relentlessness from J.K. Dobbins and, the records that he broke. So you wanted it from Master Teague, but I don't know. I think it's all about comparisons, but I think the running back room will be a committee. Guys will go in.
Mm-hmm.
Again, the pandemic year, so I'll probably just keep saying that over and over.
Like, you can say it for everything, right?
Guys are going to be coming in and out. I do think Trey Sermon will be the running back, but Master Teague is the way he recovered from this injury. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was in pads after 6 months.
Yeah,
and that's
crazy.
It's just crazy. He stayed back in Columbus. That's where he recovered. I mean, he was so dedicated. I spoke to his dad, and that's why he fought so hard for Master, because of his recovery journey and things like that. So I'm hoping that we get like an explosive year out of him just because of that, just because of all the emotions mm-hmm. that went into the offseason and preparing for the field this year. So, and he also spoke a lot about the competition within the running back room. So I think he always knew he was behind JK. Now it's more of like, all right, I could be the guy. I got to fight for it now, especially with Trey here.
Yeah, it's a wide open door, right?
Yeah.
Wide open door. And what's cool is you can watch a development of a player. And I've talked about,
dozens of players on my show in the last year and a half. JK is one of my favorites because I've always seen JK through a realistic lens.
Yeah.
When Buckeye fans a lot of times see a guy run for 1,800 yards and they think he's the best running back ever. I watched the film. He sucked in going into his last year, he was terrible in pass pro. He'd get in the open field and couldn't run away from guys. He just was playing on such a dominant team that he benefited. Yeah. And so I was critical of him going into last year. And my question was, could he be an elite back? And he became one. Yeah. Like, he started showing things that he'd never shown, hitting a hole and accelerating where then he would take away angles and he would explode for 70 yards.
And he always had a chip on his shoulder.
Well, he did.
He never got credit, especially with Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah.
You know, the whole time, you know, the week leading up to the Wisconsin game, they were taunting him, but both Master Teague and JK outran Jonathan Taylor in that first Wisconsin game.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, it was... You know, he always has a chip on his shoulder after every game. You know, he plays phenomenally. And then he's like, well, no, I needed to be better. He self-critiques himself all the time. Yeah. So it pays off.
Definitely hard on himself. I'm excited to watch Trey Sermon, and we'll see.
Right.
And like you said, Master is such a great kid and such a hard worker. Yeah. I hope he proves, I don't want to say proves me wrong. I hope he takes that next step and can show that he can be one of those backs that can explode and go 60.
Yeah.
Because I haven't seen it yet. That can change like
some
it did
big
with JK.
Plays from him. I know I can totally expect some explosive plays from Trey Sermon. I want to have more certainty with Master Teague.
Right. It's like your little brother's on the team. You're like, please, man, I just want you to be great so bad. Yeah. Here's a question I have for you. Kind of in the inner circle of media, right? I know how it works. Like, I was on the other side of it, but I could see it. Like, you all talk. There's like all that, you know, kind of sharing information. It's not like rumors, but you guys figure shit out when maybe it's not made public and it comes from you here a little bit, this guy hears a little bit, this girl hears a little bit, and you all put it all together and you get the piece, right? You get the painting painted. And so I'm curious, what's the buzz around what Ohio State's going to do on offense when it comes down to how many receivers are on the field, how many tight ends are on the field, who's going to, like, how are they going to kind of roll out the offense? What is the feeling around these young receivers, around just the receiver position in general? I'm really curious your thoughts.
They are so loaded at receiver. I know. And not to get into tight ends, but everyone always asks, like, when will they get the ball? How can you give them all? You have this many receivers that are so talented. I expect huge years out of Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson.
Yeah, huge.
And then you'll get to see the freshmen come in as well. But I definitely think there's, again, going to be the rotation, seeing them come in. I think it's between Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave who they're expecting to be the main one. I don't know. I think in a year like this, you spread the ball out, you know?
Yeah, so, and they're going to need at least two.
Yeah.
And I broke down the Clemson-Miami game, and this is just kind of to put perspective on my opinion on how you coach a receiver group, which I've done for, I don't know, forever. But Clemson right now is playing four corners and four safeties. They're playing eight guys, 35 snaps a game, all of them, because they're confident in all of them. Mm-hmm. So what they have is a nice rotation, right? Whether it's series by series, every five plays, they're rolling guys. And what happens is those guys are really, really fresh. Yeah. And so you take a talented guy and make him fresh. And if Chris Olave is going to play 70 snaps, Clemson's two fresh corners, even if Olave's a little bit better than them, by the end of the game, they're going to be just as good or better than Olave, because you have to have depth. Yeah. And you have to play your depth.
Yep.
And so I'm really apprehensive. I coached the position for a long time, and I could show you 100 of the most talented freshman receivers in the country. And honest to God, there's maybe one guy I've ever seen be kind of dominant as a freshman, and that was Julio Jones when I was at Florida and he was at Alabama. Outside of that, I mean, I've seen first-round draft picks, top 15 picks, that as freshmen, they're just not quite mature enough and ready yet. And everyone, Buckeye fans are going to be like, have you seen Julian Fleming? I've seen him. Yeah. I saw him when he was 16.
Oh my gosh, he does not look like a freshman.
No, he looks like a grown man, but he's still a freshman.
Yeah.
And so I'll give you my prediction, what I think is going to happen. I think Ohio State's going to put two tight ends on the field a lot, because I think Luke Farrell is going to be one of the better on-the-line tight ends in the country. And Jeremy Ruckert is a bigger receiver. He reminds me kind of some of these NFL receivers that barely get attached, maybe block every now and then. And I just see a lot of experience there where they can help those young receivers get some game experience, kind of grow and mature. Because you already know, when G. Scott and Julian Fleming and those kids go in a horseshoe, fans are not, in a real game for the first time,
I mean, they're going to be like wide-eyed, pissing their pants. Like
big noon kickoff.
Oh, all of it.
Big game.
First game. Like it's not Miami of Ohio. Yeah. They don't have those preseason games. So I'm really interested to see what they do on offense. And I know they have big plans for a two tight end package. And so it's going to be cool to watch these freshman receivers grow. And like you hit the nail on the head, Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave are going to be one of the best tandems in college football. Mm-hmm. And it's a matter of who is that third guy. I'm very biased, but a kid that I recruited, Cameron Babb, who's finally getting back off of 3 injuries.
I know.
I just hope he's that guy. I really do.
That is just such a tragedy and I talked to his mom, you know, who was involved with the protests and things like that. Gosh, it's sad how an injury like that over and over could you know, derail this. But I think, again, in a year like this, he could have the opportunity to make up for some of that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I want to see it from him too. But I do think that they'll spread it out. I don't know if they'll have like a main backup or anything like that. I think it's just going to be at a rotation.
It's got to be a rotation. And especially this day and age with COVID, you don't know God forbid, knock on wood, like Garrett Wilson or Chris Olave has a positive test. You better have a freshman with game experience ready to go in.
Yeah.
Because Julian Fleming doesn't play the first 3 games and one of those kids pops a positive test and now you're looking at him like, you got to be the guy. Good luck.
And you don't have those MAC games or those starter games anymore. So maybe it's a good thing so that, you know, if they get sick down the road, they got the Nebraska game, Penn State, you know, out of the way at first. But yeah, there's no wiggle room.
None. Well, that brings me to the man in Columbus, right? Justin Fields. Not only him, and I'm going to talk a little bit about my end of the year analysis of him last year, because he's a freak talent. He's got a freaky arm. He's one of the top 3 quarterbacks in the country right now, with Mac Jones at Alabama and Trevor Lawrence at Clemson. I don't see anyone playing at that level other than Justin Fields in the United States of America. But before we talk about him, I'm curious what the buzz is around who may have to take a snap if there is no Justin Fields. And I'm not going to say anything more than that. It might not be this year, maybe next year. Whenever there is no Justin Fields to take a snap, who is going to be the guy at quarterback?
I think it's going to be situational. You know, like in the Michigan game when he had to go out for a little bit, go in the medical tent. So if it's a situation like that, you'll help. I assume, you know, talking with other media outlets and stuff, all of our speculation would lead to Gunnar Hoke going in just temporarily.
Just an older, more veteran guy, right? Now what happens when it's not just a medical tent?
Yeah, so if there's a positive test, it also depends on what part of the season they're in, who's the opponent. But I would say that they would take a freshman to go in there, get the reps in now, you know? So
most talented guy needs to go in.
And if it's early in the season, that could be your guy.
Yeah.
So get him in there now. But yeah, it'll be situational and it's still a battle between the 2 freshmen. But if it is short term, it'll be Gunnar Hoke. But if it's early on, something longer term for Justin Fields,
you got to ride with the future.
You'll see the freshman.
You have to, right? Now let's talk about Justin Fields. And I'll tell you, he's freaky talented. I know this much. He had so much growth that needed to happen from last year to this year, just from understanding offensive football, understanding how to read through progressions. Like when you watch the film, he was very, I don't want to say remedial because he wasn't. He was just at an average quarterback operational level, if that makes sense. Like going through progressions, timing, things like that, getting the ball out of his hands. I talked a lot about it. Him and Jalen Hurts were the 2 worst in the country last year at getting the ball out of their hands, which didn't help Stud and his O-line at all. Mm-hmm. So he had so much to improve on. And I know from talking to Corey Dennis, he's just been grinding like crazy. And I know you guys have interviewed him. You guys have kind of been privy to what's been going on. Tell me about Justin Fields and his offseason and what the rumor is or what the story is out there.
The kid is so internally motivated.
Yeah.
He, you know, you kind of alluded to it that he would, you do what you're told, you know, follow coach, but now he wants to know why.
Yeah.
Not only just, you know, following the plan, but now understanding it, reading defenses better, understanding why coach is, you know, calling that play. Mm-hmm. He wants to understand it just the way that the coaches do so that he can predict it when he sees it on the field.
Yeah.
So I think it's the depth of all that. He, you know, a lot of people are talking about how he went vegan. And so, he's talking about how that's made him feel better. But I think the way he's completely dialed in, how much he's studying, I mean, it's 24/7 with him, yeah. And he's talking to coach all the time, you know, asking why this, why that. So it's a big, you know, he definitely dove into the playbook and studied that and then asked all the questions to figure out why the game plan is the way it is.
That's a big thing. When kids understand why, they're so much better at executing.
Yeah.
And that's not just the quarterback position. Now, the quarterback position needs to understand why in a much deeper sense. Mm-hmm. But a receiver needs to know why they need to take a certain split. Right? Why they need to run a route at a certain depth. They need to understand why, so they do it, mm-hmm. to be honest with you.
Right.
Because when you understand why, the big picture of why you line up on the numbers or line up 2 yards outside the hash as a receiver, you will never not do it because you know why you need to be there.
Make it an instinct.
If you sit there and try to memorize, like, I'm on the numbers. Like, if he sits there and they call spread or whatever play they want to call, if he just memorizes his progression and his read, he's not going to know the play as well as if he understands why mm-hmm. they call that play, why it's a good play against this defense. That's definitely one of the biggest things he's got to do. And that'll speed up his time to get the ball out.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing for me. If he gets, I should have had the stats, but he was 20% a better quarterback when he released the ball under 2.5 seconds.
Yeah.
So you imagine if he could live in that world.
Yeah.
Of getting the ball out of his hands on time. It would be, I mean, he'd win the Heisman Trophy. This is the reality of it.
If there was anything he needed to work on, it was getting rid of the ball sooner.
For sure.
So I think diving deeper and seeing it from this point of view will help him speed that up.
Yeah. Oh, it definitely will. It definitely will. I'm excited to see, not only see Justin Fields and see kind of this new enhanced, you know, the new model, right? The new model came out of Justin Fields. I'm excited to watch it. And I'm really excited to see Corey Dennis in his first, this is his first opportunity to show the world. He had probably the second best quarterback in the country last year. And then Corey Dennis gets the full-time gig, and now he's responsible to make him the best. I mean, it's like handing a guy a Maserati when they turn 16, and it's like, hey, don't wreck it. Oh, so I'm excited for him. Corey's come a long way, that's for sure, and he will do a fantastic job with Ryan, of course. Ryan will never not be involved in the quarterback development. Oh, yeah. But it's going to be exciting to watch this offense come together, and I would, if I had to say a prediction, I think we're going to see a lot of two tight ends, at least to start the year, to get those receivers in the flow, in the groove, get them some game experience. You have two excellent outside receivers, and outside of that, a bunch of guys that haven't played at all, basically. Yeah. So it's going to be a year of getting experience on the perimeter. And if you had to say there's a question mark on offense, what is it?
That's a good question. I feel pretty you know, this is, if I had to choose something, it would probably be just the injuries at running back.
Yeah.
And that's just to nitpick.
Yeah, right.
The coaches seem very confident, but I just think how hard it is to overcome an Achilles injury. And so, you know, Trey Sermon did have knee surgery in November. That it's been about a year from now. So that, you know, he needs game reps and things like that. So, if I had to nitpick, it would be running back just because of the injuries they've dealt with. But the confidence is coming from coaches, from what they've said.
Yeah. Well, I think they're all going to be confident. They should. They got talent everywhere. I mean, it's stupid.
Yeah.
It's stupid how talented they are. Well, I want to transition from that, and I want to just have a conversation about the 2020 schedule. Not only the opponents, but I've talked about the Big Ten and Kevin Warren at exhaustion, so I don't really care to talk about it anymore unless you'd like to. But I'm excited. I'm interested in your perspective on where we're at now, right? I've been very public about how the Big Ten could not have failed more miserably than they did. And now in the light of what's happening at Florida, 19 positive cases, postponed their game. Nick Saban has COVID. Like, it seems like everyone in the world is getting COVID. We have an 8-game schedule with no bye weeks. Mm-hmm. And so that could easily happen to any of these teams, right? 20 people test positive. Now you're talking about postpone that game, maybe the next game. You can't postpone it.
Right.
Postpone it to when? It's canceled. So now you go from an 8-game season to a 6 or a 5-game season, and you're sitting there like, whoa, this playoff committee is going to have a lot of ammo.
SEC teams have already played 4 games.
Exactly, right?
So it's that's the scary thing to me, and I don't like to speculate either, but when the Big Ten finally came out with the schedule, like, okay, they gave the people what they want, but it's almost like they did that to prove, like, it's not going to work out, and that would almost justify their original decision.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're going to play, okay, you got to play by these rules, and that just will prove to you that you couldn't have gotten through it. So, you know, it is scary, and I think that Ohio State is a team that I'm not nervous about. Just, you know, I cover them specifically, but also because I know the culture there. I know how bought in they are there, and they believe that they can win the national championship. Other Big Ten programs
right.
are the concern.
Oh, you mean Rutgers had a house party and had like 30 cases or something crazy back in the summer. That's the issue, right?
There's, losing an opponent would be the concern I have. I don't think Ohio State, even if we've talked about depth, even if we do, I think that Coach Day is going to done a good job preparing for that. But it's the opponents who probably aren't as bought in. I mean, what are they playing for? I mean, no one's going to beat Ohio State. So it's, you know, if that's your opponent.
Yeah.
All right. We can live the college life that week.
Right. Well, I'm curious. So we had a conversation before we started recording just about some of the things that you know that have gone on in the program to, I guess, there's no way to guarantee COVID negativity, but just the measures that are being taken, like Ryan Day, you mentioned, wasn't even staying at home. And when he was, he had a mask on. Just all the things that you've heard that are going on within the program to, I guess, have the best chance to play.
Yeah. When we have our press conferences, they're all virtual.
Yeah.
And if someone needs to be brought into a room, Jerry Emig, he makes sure, like, okay, you can't be in this room. You can't be in that room. So even players within the team are designated to certain spaces. So it's very, very strict. No families can come into the building or anything. I mean, mm-hmm. the Woody Hayes Athletic Center is completely locked down and you're getting tested daily. So Coach Day said you are more comfortable there when you're playing because you know everyone there was tested negative.
Yeah,
and
right.
So that is a comfortability, you know, being tested every single day. Mm-hmm. So you know that, all right, you know, everyone around me is good. So, so you have all these strict policies, and on top of that, it's in place for people who've already tested negative. So it's a comfortability there. Again, what are other schools doing? I know that they're, you know, the protocols are supposed to be throughout the conference, but within Ohio State, at least, you know, designating rooms, coaches not staying with their families. That's like an extra step that Ohio State has taken just because of how dedicated they are.
No doubt.
I don't know if that's the case at other schools.
No doubt. I mean, side note, my son, who you just met, he plays baseball and football, and my daughter plays softball against Larry Johnson's grandkids. So I've seen Larry probably, I don't know, 10 times in the last 2 months. And we always talk at a distance, no one freak out, but it's really cool to watch because Larry's, we've been in youth sports because one, Larry and I know each other really well. And two, my kid is his grandkids, same age. So we've been at youth sports all the time.
I would love to see Ohio State coaches at, you know, these young kids sports program.
Oh, it's great. And Larry's son, Tony Johnson, who's, his grandson's father, obviously, played at Penn State. He's out there coaching 8-year-old softball. It's awesome. But it's cool to watch because he comes with his wife and they sit way the hell away. Like, he and I will talk, but from a good distance. You know what I mean? And he's always masked up. It's cool to see because most people, they just come, sit down. They kind of try to stay 6 feet away. There's no masks. And it's just cool to see someone that is committed to something so much greater and with such a different lens than the rest of normal Powell, Ohio, I guess.
Yeah.
and it's reassuring, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like you said, they have a lot to play for and they're being so careful. Mm-hmm. But back to the schedule. You said no one's going to beat Ohio State. If you had to pick one, Ohio State loses one regular season game, who do they lose to?
You know, recent years, I'm always going to go with Penn State, but that game doesn't look the same this year.
No.
No fans in Happy Valley.
That's huge now.
They've lost some players. So I think I feel good, but, you know, there could be hiccups, but that's probably the biggest one on the schedule, and that game looks a lot different. They don't have the advantages they did because of COVID. So that, you know, that's where it does work in Ohio State's favor.
Right. Right, and I think their defense is going to be. It's going to be interesting to see what they do on defense. Penn State's they're not to Ohio State's level, but they're not far off. Mm-hmm. They recruited a really high level, so I think a lot of these the blinders of being a Buckeye fan and saying, "Oh, our D tackles are going to be great." What do you mean? We have Larry Johnson. Well, Penn State's thinking the same thing about their deficiencies or question marks, right? Mm-hmm. And they return their quarterback, they return their running back, they return a big time tight end. Like, I think they got a lot going for them if their defense can be solid, right? But you mentioned it. No fans in a whiteout. Like, that's a huge loss. Huge. I mean, I've coached in that, I don't know, three times. It's the most electric atmosphere I've ever seen.
I haven't been to that game yet.
So how?
I've only covered Ohio State 1 year, and then I worked behind the scenes another year, 4 years ago. So that was one I was looking forward to this year. I did get to go to the Big House.
Yeah.
And side note, they tried to restrict the media there, but I always finagle my way onto the field. So I went all the way.
It's funny. I heard that about you.
You did?
I heard you get things done. Like you make interviews happen. You get where.
That is kind of my name around here. I
heard that.
I'm not all talk. I get it done, but.
You're about that action.
Yeah. Like because I was supposed to only do home games, and I'm like, no. I'm going to go to away games too. So I made that happen. And then when I got to the Big House, they were only supposed to have photographers on. You had to have a penny on, and I'm holding my microphone, and I'm walking down the tunnel, which was awesome to go to. But I go down there, and I'm looking at the security guard. I just walk right on by, and my camera guy is like, Steph, no, we can't. And I'm like, Shadle, I have 4 stand-ups. We're going to do them. And there's no room on the Michigan. There's
none.
No space there.
None. Like, that's how JT Barrett got hurt. It wasn't your camera guy, was it?
No.
It took out JT Barrett?
No. But I was, and then we have our whole band there. So I'm like, Shadle, my photographer, we're getting this done.
Yeah.
And so, and then my studio set in Columbus, I was texting him. I'm like, guys, I have it coming. My hands are like numb. I'm like, okay, I'm going to get it done. And the security guy walks over to me and he goes, Miss, I'm sorry, it's only photographers. And you just got to kill them with kindness. And so we got it done, but no one expected a reporter to be at the Big House. And I'm like, no. I will do it.
Right. Well, I told you, I've heard that about you.
That's
you kind of get stuff done even when you're not allowed to get it done.
Yeah, I have to sweet talk Jerry Emig a lot for some reason. Oh, interviews. Yeah.
Jerry, I'm not going to talk. I could talk about Jerry forever. I love Jerry.
I need him to get me on the field this year.
Right. You need him to bypass DeWine's rules. So the Penn State game, that's the one you got circled, huh?
Yeah.
How cool is this Nebraska game going to be? One, because as I mentioned on the episode yesterday, the Ace on Lane, check it out, menacetosports.com. We're going to invite Steph to come down and hang out, especially if she doesn't finagle her way on the field. But who knows? She might be on the 50. She might do the coin toss. We'll look out there and she's doing the coin toss on Saturday. But we're going to invite her to come to it. So we're excited about that. And excited because this is the game, right? This is the Big Ten with throwing a big middle finger at Nebraska. Like, you wanted to play so bad. You wanted to sue us. You got the Buckeyes game one.
They got a tough schedule altogether.
They got a tough schedule. Bad.
Oh, my gosh.
Rough. Rough deal.
Yeah.
Well, I look at the schedule, and I think that you're right. The Penn State game is going to be a challenge. There's not really another game on there. I think Indiana's the second toughest game they have. I really do.
Right?
I mean, Michigan State is horrible, and I've talked about this ad nauseum. They were a train wreck last year. They have a new coach in Mel Tucker. They have 3 guys on offense, 3 guys on defense coming back. On top of all of that, if you look at what's happening with Florida State right now, you bring in a new program that needs to change a bad culture, and then you take away spring ball meetings and everything for the whole offseason. Good luck. It's going to be a train wreck in Michigan State.
Yeah, I talked to Urmeyer about that. Culture is going to be tested like no other this year. And so when you have continuity like you do at Ohio State, then you have built-in culture and people are bought in. But when you have like things changing around, new guys coming in, that makes it harder, especially when you were social distance and you had like these calls over Zoom. How do you build camaraderie like that? So, you know, having guys locked down on and off the field even in a situation like that is going to be tough this year in particular.
It's going to be really tough. Okay. Really tough. So I want to talk about the defense right now. I think the biggest question marks are, and you and I already talked about it, D-tackle. I'm not completely sold on how the linebackers are going to play, but I think the biggest question that a lot of people are going to have is, and I want to talk about, is Kerry Combs comes back home to the great state of Ohio, to Buckeye Nation, to not only develop first-round corners again, but to run the show. Call the defense. So I'm just curious your insight and thoughts being in the media circle and Zoom calls with Kerry, and just what your thoughts on Kerry Combs being the DC.
Yeah. So I think, you know, the talk around has been after losing Jordan Fuller as high safety, and Kerry Combs is used to having 2 safeties. That's something that's in question. We don't know specifically what he's going to do yet, but we have been looking at what corners will go in. We obviously have Sean Wade back, which is a huge help.
Huge.
And seeing what they do there might, you know, make up the decision there. Because the safeties are, you know, we haven't seen too much from the ones that we have now yet. I think that Jordan Fuller, he was just so reliable and consistent. I don't think he got as much praise as he probably should have.
Well, I said it all year.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, all year I watched the film and I'm like, they do not. And the NFL, of course, didn't either.
The edge he had is he's a scholar. Like, he's a scholar. Brilliant. He's so good at, you know, studying film, and he has such a high football IQ that as a safety, that's so important.
So important.
And we don't know much about the safeties that we have. Josh Proctor, we've had hype around him. Like, we're waiting to see him shine. So I think we'll see that. But losing Jordan Fuller to the NFL was, you know, tough after having him start for 3 years. So Kerry Combs, you know, we'll be able to play around with that. And as we shared last week, that, you know, rotating players is going to be a huge factor in the pandemic year. But that's something that Kerry Combs is, you know, more accustomed to.
Yeah, for sure.
So that's something that will work well in the secondary for a coach who's used to that. And so, I think that you lose some guys on defense, but with what they have in place, they've had guys, you know, practice so many different spots that they're preparing well for it.
That's for sure. I think you're going to see more two safeties from just what I've heard. And I don't think it's going to be a split safety look. I think the defense is going to be very similar to what it was last year. A predominant one high defense, a little bit of man, a lot of zone. But I think you're going to see, instead of a nickel in a Sean Wade, I think you're going to see a drop down safety like a Marcus Hooker. And Josh Proctor and Marcus Hooker are the two guys that I'm most excited about in the entire team. Mm-hmm. Because I saw both of them as a freshman. I saw both of them on a basketball court. I saw both of them. And I mean, you talk about freaks of nature. Absolute freaks of nature, and Proctor reminds me of a longer, taller, skinnier version of Malik Hooker so much that it's going to be fun to watch. And that's weird because Marcus is his brother, but yeah. It just, the ball skills are outstanding. So I'm really excited about both of them. I think the corner position is somewhat a question mark. Cameron Brown came in the Clemson game and played phenomenal. Mm-hmm. He played in the Big Ten championship game. Or I'm sorry, he didn't. He came in the Big Ten championship game and played phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Barely played against Clemson. So I know he's a guy they're really excited about. And obviously, Sean Wade coming back will be huge. But it is still a question mark. People don't want to talk about the fact that the kid played slot corner. He played the nickel. It's different playing on the outside. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he's gonna have to answer some questions, too. That's the whole reason he came back, was to answer those questions. And then I love Seven Banks. Those are the three that I love. And
I was waiting for you to bring up Seven. Because I think he's going to be the main one coming in, an opposite of Sean Wade. But you also spoke about Sean Wade coming back. And with the NFL agents I've spoken to, you know, leaving for the draft early doesn't provide as much benefit as it does film. And especially with Sean, who wanted to move and show what else he can do in the secondary, is huge. So having him being able to move will help his draft stock. You know, granted, he plays well, which we can certainly expect. But having him be able to show that on film will definitely help as well.
No doubt. And I think what people sometimes fail to understand is Sean Wade was, when he was playing in the slot, he was playing a lot of zone coverage in the slot, and he was playing he played man. He was great in man as well, but it's just different living on the outside. It's really different, and he's practiced at it. This would be good to see him have an opportunity to execute it, right? Do it in games. And I know that's why he came back, right? Because he needed to do that. My biggest question mark on defense is on the defensive line. I know that people will act like I'm crazy. Jonathan Cooper coming back is a huge, huge deal, right? Mm-hmm. But I think that there's a lot of unproven talent on the D-line. So I'm curious just kind of your thoughts on the defensive line in general. Like what is the buzz around Larry Johnson and his crew?
Well, Larry Johnson spoke very highly of the defensive ends. He says that all five could probably start anywhere in the country right now. So, I mean, defensive end, I think you're good with depth, especially, again, going back to this year and at rotation. But I think tackle is probably the biggest concern on the whole team of depth.
Yeah, especially when Haskell Garrett gets shot in the face.
Yeah, and that was like a freak accident, which – and Coach Day said, you know, we don't really know the timeline, but we should be expecting him back. Same with Taron Vincent, who's going through some injury as well. Two guys that you definitely want to see back. Hopefully they get there. I don't quite know their status yet. We don't know that yet. But if they come in, then we can get some breathing room. But right now we don't have that.
Well, they were the two potential starters is the reality of it. I mean, you didn't know for sure, but Taron Vincent and Haskell Garrett, and you throw in Tommy Togiai, those were going to be the three main the staples on the inside. And you're talking about two of them might be out. That's in a position group that was a question,
and if,
right?
If Tommy gets, you know, something happens to him, then
Who's left?
Yeah.
That's why I think it'll be interesting to see how they feel about that group. And I know Larry's none better. And I've seen guys like Jerron Cage who showed flashes of the ability, just have never put it all together. And then Antoine Jackson comes in from junior college, whatever, 2 years ago now. He's got some ability, but I'm with you. There's a lot of questions to be answered on the interior D line. And I'll take Larry's word for it, because if there's any coach in the country I have confidence in developing guys, it's Larry Johnson. Mm-hmm. But the DNs are not exactly that experienced. Tyreek Smith played a lot. Zach Harrison played sparingly, right? And then you have Jonathan Cooper. That's what you're looking at DN right now. And
you don't have the Chase Young, Nick Bosa that we're used, like, you know, that's a luxury that we've been used to having.
Yeah.
But I don't think that takes away, like, these are still quality guys. Like, they're still NFL caliber, you know, but I think Ohio State fans are just, have grown used to having guys like that. But people need to understand Chase Young, Nick Bosa, Joey Bosa, those guys are once in a lifetime. To have them back to back to back is just wild. To have them within the family is wild. But there is, you know, a consistency there, and it is Larry Johnson. He knows how to develop players. And so I do think that when he says he's got five guys that he is super excited about and confident in, that speaks highly to what these guys are capable of. So I'm not as nervous there at all, but tackle, especially three tech tackle, is the big question mark.
Huge. Well, my other question mark that you probably won't agree, most people don't agree, but I don't care. I'm telling you, it's a huge question mark for me, is the linebacker position. It really is. And it's been my huge question mark, and they've yet to prove me wrong. They've yet to come out and just be the best linebackers in the country. The last two seasons, they've proven me right. But everyone seems to like this group, and I don't dislike them. I'm not throwing shade at Pete and the boys, but I love Pete Warner. I think he's really athletic. I think he is the staple on this linebacker crew. Baron Browning's the most talented guy maybe to come through the linebacker room since Ryan Shazier, but he hasn't played like it. He's very inconsistent. And then Tough Borland is just a very average, try-hard, leader, tough guy. That's what he is. And I made the comment last week on the Scarlet and Great podcast. I said, Tough Borland is the JT Barrett of this defense. He's a solid player.
Solid leader. Everything.
The best leader in the world. Highest character. Mickey Marotti loves him. But at the end of the day, I don't think he's the best guy.
He's not loud on the field. You know, no. He's not. But, I think that you can rely on him. I believe in Tuff. He doesn't get much love. And so you're not helping him out. But I think when I think of Pete Werner, oh my gosh, I think that there's so much versatility there Yeah. So
and
I
they
mean
moved
that's
him to
a
Will.
Huge help.
That's gonna be awesome.
Yeah, and so to that, Baron Browning moving over to a position he's more comfortable with, I think maybe we'll see more consistency there. So I feel good about the linebackers, and especially with how they've been practicing, moving around different spots. Interested to see how they do set up the defense, but with the versatility that they have there, I feel good about it. And I think that the leadership there, you got veteran guys there, guys with experience, that'll help too.
No, that'll definitely help. I mean, that is the one thing they have. They have experience. Like, they have played a lot of football. Sometimes they didn't play that well, but they played a lot, which is really important, especially having that senior leadership. And it'll be huge for guys like Dallas Gant and Taraja Mitchell, who I think are two guys, Kayvon Pope, that should be studs. And the guy that I really want to see is Craig Young, who I recruited out of Fort Wayne, Austin Mack's boy. One of the freakiest athletes I've ever seen in camp. He's like a 10, 900 meter and a linebacker, just stupid. But he was very raw. So I'm excited to see if he can get on the field a little bit. So they have talent there. And then they bring Justin Hilliard back, the guy that's been through it all, right? He's been through like 17 injuries. I think this is year 7 or 8 for him. I mean, just a lot of interesting characters in the room. What's your feeling on the defensive staff and Kerry Combs calling the defense? Like, has there been much discussion in the media coverage on how that'll work, or kind of how their philosophy on who's calling the defense, how they're calling it, anything like that?
I definitely think the two coordinators, it's going to be, you know, I think it's going to be completely 50-50. I think it'll be, I think they'll share it well. I think these guys are kind of used to having new coaches coming in. Yeah. And so Tough Borland is one who was able to stay consistent even through the coaching changes. So I think the guys who are veterans are able to work with that and overcome mm-hmm. that. And I think that the veterans and the leadership there will help with a new coach. But he also has coached here before.
Yeah, it's hard to even classify him as a new coach.
Right.
He's like a maybe to like two classes, he's a new coach.
Yeah.
But to the older guys, it's like, oh, it's Kerry. Coach Combs
is
back.
Yeah, he's back. And for sure. So yeah, I think that there's comfortability there. And so with new guys coming in, younger guys, and then this year, I think that we'll see like different types of scheme just because you're going to have to play around with things and plan for the unexpected. So I'm expecting the unexpected.
It's 2020. It's 2020. That's a fair thing to do. Expect the unexpected. Well, it's gonna be a big year for Kerry because he's never called a defense, and he's been a football coach forever. I'm excited to see it. I've shared my experiences with him. One of the best fundamental coaches and motivational coaches I've ever been around. Not exactly wasn't always known as a great scheme guy. So it'll be interesting to see if he's the one calling it or if someone else is calling it and he's just providing the leadership for the defense. That's the biggest question mark on defense outside of what we already talked about is how is that staff going to call the defense on 3rd and 7? Who is making the decision to blitz, who to blitz, to play coverage? That's critical now.
Yeah.
Like Luke Fickell was excellent at it, having a feel for the game, knowing when to call a blitz, just dialing something up at the perfect time. That's something that before you've ever done it, you don't know if you like Kerry Combs right now doesn't know if he's good at that because no one does. You got to get in the game and all of a sudden it like you get a, I don't know if it's hard to explain. It's like you kind of get a groove and you kind of see the game well and you start dialing it up.
In a rhythm. Yeah. And moving from NFL back to Big Ten play. But at least he's got a co-defensive coordinator with him.
That's the reality, right?
Yeah. That's going to be a huge
most of this stuff,
easing into it.
No doubt. And most of this stuff is so overly discussed by your staff on 3rd and 7 to 10. What do you like? Mm-hmm. What do you call? What does everyone like? Everyone gives opinions. So he has plenty of help, but I'm excited to see him thrive as the D coordinator. There's not a better man in the world than Kerry mm-hmm. Combs. That's all I do know. But I appreciate you coming back for the defensive wrap up. I wouldn't have felt right doing it without you. So we will hopefully look forward to seeing you on Saturday.
Yes.
The point on lane.
Yeah.
Point on lane. That's it. Yeah. Make sure I'm sending people to the right place. Well, thank you for joining us. I appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate you having
me. And make sure, tell everyone where they can find you.
Yeah.
All social media, give it to them. All your info.
Just my name at Steph Oatey, Stephotey, on pretty much every platform there is out there. So, follow me there.
Find her. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, definitely YouTube. She's got awesome YouTube content. So make sure you follow Steph and, keep up with all the stuff she's got going on because it's entertaining, great content. I appreciate it, Steph. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. All right, there you have it. A little Buckeye insight. Really cool to get the media perspective from Steph and giving us kind of what she's heard in the media circles. Always great insight. Really excited to have her on Saturday for the Ace on Lane. Make sure you check it out at menacetosports.com. Come hang out with us. Like I told you, 30% off with promo code Menace on our website, Menace2Sports. That's really it. That's all I got for you. Also, make sure you go right now, right when you get off this show, go to Instagram, follow at Menace to Sports so you can get the live, IG live of our show on Saturday morning around 10:45. We'll be out there talking Buckeyes a little more in depth, a little more my style of in-depth analytics of this team and what I'm excited to see and what I expect out of the Buckeyes and just the college football Saturday. So thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. As always, I appreciate you. Hope you were entertained. Hope you were educated. Hope you took something away from it. Hope you just killed about 1 hour and 5 minutes with us here at Menace to Sports. Hope you enjoyed it. And as I say, if you didn't, go fuck yourself, San Diego.
Justin Fields. Hello, Columbus. 51 yards. It's blocked! Ohio State got it! Blocked out of the air! Towards the end zone! Touchdown, Buckeyes! Here's Fields over the middle! Touchdown, Buckeyes!
Hit anyway! Sean Wade off the corner, and Lawrence is still down.
Again, looking to throw, loops the ball up. Leaping catch by Garrett Wilson down inside the 10 as the freshman makes a play.
Unbelievable catch by the true freshman from Austin, Texas.
And even more, Sermon still on the move. Sermon to the corner. Touchdown.
Well, then get the fuck out of here then. Okay, see ya.